Hello and welcome to worship. Well, we've got two readings today. The first is from Job, completing the series of readings that we've had about Job's relationship with God. And we've heard in previous weeks how Job and his friends struggle trying to work out if God is just, how bad things happen to good people. God praises Job for questioning him, but in the end, Job has to appreciate that he's in no position to judge how God rules the world. Job was right to take his problems to God, even if he didn't always get an answer to his question. And so our call to worship today is based on the readings that we've heard over the last few weeks. Job shouted, and God, in God's time, responded. And Job learnt a lesson about God's wisdom and power, questioned and put to the test.
Holy God, Holy Almighty, Holy Immortal. Lord, you are far above our words, far beyond our understanding. We struggle to grasp something of your holiness, your purity, your total goodness. You are God, without beginning and without end. Before time began, you are. When creation sprang into being at the breath of your mouth, you are. When our planets were swirls of cosmic dust, you are. When our earth took form, you are. When man came forth, you are. Throughout all our history, you are. Today, here, and wherever you may be, God is. Throughout all time and to eternity, God is. Lord, you are always compassionate, always merciful, ever watching, ever loving, ever faithful, always there waiting for us to turn to you. You are ever ready to pardon our sins. You want to guide us, give us strength, and cheer us with hope and with all your blessings. And yet, for all this, we still sometimes live our lives as if you were not there. Forgive us and have mercy on us. We still sometimes reject your guidance, thinking we know better. Forgive us and have mercy on us. We still sometimes complain about problems, but fail to thank you for the many blessings you shower upon us. Forgive us and have mercy on us. And may our ever compassionate Father have mercy on us, cleanse us from our sins, and strengthen us by his Holy Spirit to follow his Son. Amen.
Reading from Job, chapter 24, verses 1 to 6. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know, Lord, that you are all-powerful, that you can do everything that you want. You ask how I dare to question your wisdom when I am so ignorant. I talked about things I did not understand, about marvels too great for me to know. You told me to listen while you spoke and to try to answer your questions. In the past, I only knew what others had told me, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. So I am ashamed of all I have said and repent in dust and ashes." And then from 10 to 17. Then, after Job had prayed for his three friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had had before. All Job's brothers and sisters and former friends came to visit him and feasted with him in his house. They expressed their sympathy and comforted him for all the troubles the Lord had brought on him. Each of them gave him some money and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the last part of Job's life even more than he had blessed the first. Job owned 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 2,000 heads of cattle, and 1,000 donkeys. He was the father of 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the oldest daughter Jemaniah, the second Keziah, and the youngest Keren-Hapuk. There were no other women in the whole world as beautiful as Job's daughters. Their father gave them a share of the inheritance along with their brothers. Job lived 140 years after this, long enough to see his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and then he died at a very great age. Reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Jesus heals blind Bartimaeus. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many of the people scolded him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Get up. He is calling you." So he threw off his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. "Teacher," the blind man answered, "I want to see again." "Go," Jesus told him. "Your faith has made you well." At once he was able to see and followed Jesus on the road.
The Old Testament stories promote the belief that misfortune, illness, or disability were an outward sign of sin, either of the afflicted person or their parents. However, in the book of Job, which we've been following over the last few weeks, we see that concept challenged. And the challenge is in the form of a story in which we see Job, who we are told is a wealthy man, who is a righteous man and lives life as it should be led. We see him being used as a pawn in what seems to be a heavenly struggle for power. God is challenged by Satan to prove that a person like Job would continue to be faithful to him even if it wasn't worth his while. In other words, if he got nothing out of his continued worship. Well, the story is set in a nondescript historical time, and it is a strange tale. It's full of drama and poetic speeches challenging the concept that if you are good and faithful, only good things will happen to you. It asks the question, is God just? Does he rule the world in a just way? Why is there suffering in the world, and who is to blame? By the end of the book, there are no answers to the questions, but an affirmation that as humans, we are not in a position to judge why there is suffering or whether God is just and fair. Well, the story is set in the ancient Near East, and the names of the characters are not Jewish. And so it might suggest that this story was used in many cultures of the time. The same questions would challenge people of all faiths and all backgrounds. But in spite of this message from this story and the fact that it was included in the Old Testament and so part of the Jewish culture, we can see that the relationship between sin and misfortune and malady remained strong. Even to the present day, we see echoes of it if there is a problem in questions like, what did you do to deserve that? And blame and guilt follow closely behind. Well, there are many accounts in all four Gospels of Jesus as a healer who cures a range of illnesses and disabilities. And most of those illnesses are physical: blindness, deafness, paralysis, leprosy, epilepsy, and so on. And there are some mental illnesses mentioned, which in the Bible are described as people possessing evil spirits, which need to be exorcised. And we're told that Jesus uses different methods of healing, touch and word, and even the medium of spittle. And some healing is done at a distance with no physical contact. But the common denominator of all the healing is faith. Faith of the person to be healed, or faith of a relative or a friend. There is no healing if there is no faith. Thus in Nazareth, when Jesus was rejected, we read, he could do no deed of power. To healing, a God-given gift. Here in this reading, Jesus was in Jericho. There was a great crowd with him, as well as his disciples. He'd left the north where he'd been safe, and he was now travelling towards Jerusalem and all that awaited him there. For Jesus, the end of the road was not far away. Jericho was only 15 miles from Jerusalem. So let's imagine the scene. The main road ran right through Jericho, and Jesus was on his way to the Passover. When a distinguished teacher or rabbi was on such a journey, it was the custom that he was surrounded by a group of people, disciples and pupils, who were listening to him while he walked. This was one of the commonest ways of teaching. It was the law that every male Jew over 12 years old and who lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem must attend the Passover. But it was an impossible law to be fulfilled, to say that everybody should go. There were too many. And so those who were unable to go were in the habit of lining the streets of the towns and villages through which the pilgrims would pass in order to pay them Godspeed on their journey. Sitting by the roadside was Bartimaeus, who we are told was the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, who when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing, shouted out. People around him tried to keep him quiet, but he would not be silenced. He shouted out, "Son of David, have pity on me." And in spite of all the crowds and no doubt all the hubbub, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." Those around who had been telling Bartimaeus to be quiet now told him, "Take courage, go, he's calling you." And Bartimaeus wasted no time and went to Jesus. And then the question. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, you would have thought that that would have been obvious, wouldn't you? He was blind. But no, it wasn't. At the beginning of the reading, we are told that Bartimaeus' father was a blind beggar, and so it was highly likely that Bartimaeus was destined for the same lifestyle. This was the life of most who were disabled in those times. The only way to get enough money to live on was to beg. By restoring his sight, Bartimaeus would have no means of living. And so the question was important, and the answer was not obvious. But Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted. He wanted his sight, and he knew that Jesus, the Messiah, could give him that. And he calls Jesus Son of David. And so he's thinking of Jesus as the Messiah promised of old, an earthly warrior who would free them from oppression. I wonder if after the healing, Bartimaeus might have thought differently and may have realised that he was the Son of God. And although Bartimaeus' idea of Jesus was inadequate, in spite of all that, he had faith. And in the end of the story, there is a lovely touch. Bartimaeus may have been a beggar by the roadside, but he was a man of gratitude. Having received his sight, he followed Jesus. He did not selfishly go on his way when his need was met. He began with need and went on to gratitude and finished with loyalty. And that is the perfect summary of the stages of discipleship. We turn to Jesus in our faith. We pray to Jesus in our worship. As we look at our own lives, our strengths, our weaknesses, our problems and our uncertainties. What would we say if Jesus asked us what he asked Bartimaeus? What do you want me to do for you? And would we show the gratitude that Bartimaeus did and the loyalty to carry on following Jesus? Amen.
Now let us bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Let's pray. Jesus invites us to bring our doubts, our fears, our questions to you, O God, and promises that you will answer them. Hear us now. As we bring them all to you today, give us patience to wait for your response and humility to accept what you say. O God, so many people sharing doubts about your very existence. What can we say or do to help them to believe in you? O God, so many people and situations in our world threaten to restrict our religious freedom and our right to worship freely in public. How can we use our voices and actions to help people affected in this way? O God, so many people displaced more than ever before in our history, struggling to get to a place of safety, a place they can settle and call home. How can we use our gifts and talents to help them? O God, so many people facing injustices, often caused by others, which make life miserable and unbearable. How can we find ways to ensure they receive just treatments and answers? O God, so many in our world blame you for all that is wrong, all that happens to cause pain and suffering. How can we find ways to help people to understand that we have no answers for why things happen, but believe you are not to blame? O God, so many people today take your name in vain and use your name to claim victory over others or to control people into behaving how they think people should. How can we help people who have been hurt and damaged by this kind of abuse in your name? O God, so many questions. So many questions that we must learn to live with. Help us. Help us in our search to see you and your ways more clearly. All our prayers we bring to you, our God of love. O God, so many people long to know you better, to see you more clearly, to love you more nearly, and to follow you. How can we as a church help people to come to know and to love you? All our prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Eternal and everlasting One, we are glad to be united in your presence, to offer our gifts and our worship to you. Take and receive all that we have. We give it freely and invite you to take and use all we offer to build your kingdom here and now. Amen. And let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Take my life and let it be dedicated to your praise. Lord, I freely give to you. my hands to show your love for the broken and the lost. Guide my feet to follow Christ in the shadow of the cross. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and may they always bring you praise. I'm all yours. I'm all yours, my Lord. All I am, every part. I'm all yours. I'm all yours, my Lord. Take my life. Take my heart. Take the things that I possess. I surrender all I own. Lord, I give my every thought to be ruled by Christ alone. Take my voice, let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and may they always bring you praise. I'm all yours. I'm all yours, my Lord. All I am, every part. I'm all yours, my Lord. Take my life, take my heart.
Now, as we finish our worship together here today, let us pray. For the one who created the heavens and the earth, whose understanding knows no limits, the one who invites honest questions, inquiring minds and open hearts, bless you in the ongoing adventure of life and faith, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for sharing in our worship today. For details of all that's happening around the linked parishes of Strontian, Ardgour and Morvern, and with our neighbours at Acharachal and Ardnamurchan, do check out aksm.org.uk. Next Sunday, the 31st of October, being a fifth Sunday of the month, something a little different. And at Ardgour, at 10 o'clock, there will be Cafe Church. It's been almost 2 years since we were able to have Cafe Church. Come along for 10 o'clock for a coffee and a bacon roll. Do look out for details of that. Next Sunday also sees the beginning of COP26, and for the fortnight while that is happening, many things happening around the parishes with a climate justice theme. Do check the website, aksm.org.uk/COP26 will get you directly to all the details. Sunday the 14th of November will of course be Remembrance Sunday, and there will be wreath layings at the war memorials around the peninsula. Do look out for details and times of all of those. God bless you all.
May the Lord bless you. May keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you.